What kind of man welcomes the company of the hurting, helpless, and the hopeless?
What kind of a man can heal the pain with a single soft touch?
What kind of a man multiplies hope and freedom as easily as he does fish and bread?
Who else can turn our dusty old religion into a brand new relationship?
What kind of man would claim to be God in the flesh, but then allow that same flesh to be torn apart?
What kind of a man would embrace betrayal?
Insults.
Torture.
Mockery.
And death.
And yet, live to tell about it.
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody.
Who could speak with such authoritative words and yet drench them with compassion?
Who could be strong enough to still the storms, yet be so meek and humble?
Who could allow the hands that created the universe to also be nailed into a wooden cross?
Who could choose patience despite deserving immediate and complete obedience?
Who could be blameless and without fault, but still endure the judgment others deserve?
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody.
Who will love us like him?
Who will be with us when all others have left?
Who comforts us in suffering?
Who is our peace in the midst of anxiety?
Who reassures me when my mind is drowning in doubt?
Who accepts me as I am, with no strings attached?
Who else would die for me while I was sinking in sin?
Who else can turn the grave into Easter morning?
Nobody.
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 Nobody but Jesus.
One word. I want you to think of one word that filled you most with joy. I was going to even ask you maybe to shout it out loud today. I don't know, you feel all right with that? That's not usually my thing. Well, what's that one word that fills you with joy? Maybe you want to write it on the back of your bulletin. For the record, donuts is spelled D-O-N. All right, I'm going to ask you to say that word. It's an Easter word, so you can't say it quietly, right? Don't worry about what the person next to you is going to think of your word. You can't hide your word. You got to say it loud and strong with all the joy that you could put into it. Imagine if it was taken away from you, and then you got it back. What is that one word? Well, shout it on go, all right? You ready? I'll give you a countdown. 3, 2, 1, go! Giovanni! Oh, you were just all religiously correct, weren't you? Think of Mary. Think of what Mary went through. And her deepest grief, she goes to the tomb expecting to prepare a dead body. And she leaves there full of joy, so full of joy she like flew. Mary said, Rabboni. Now, that's not the same as rabbi. Rabboni is a way to address God. And for Mary, that word in that moment was the most joyous word she had ever spoken. What if the knowledge of the resurrection story ended with an empty tomb? Jesus, no appearances by Jesus afterwards. Would we still be here? Would our ancestors in this church had kept the faith going? Mary didn't even know it was Jesus until he says her name. We know when someone speaks our name. We know who that person is when they speak our name. You know, there's a difference between someone calling out your name at an event, like let's say at a graduation or something like that, and when your mother called your name, especially if you're in trouble. I had an aunt, and whenever my cousins were in trouble, she would say their whole name to them, right? Their first, middle, and last name. Gerard Louis Valentino? And he knew who it was, and he was in trouble. We know someone the way they call our name, don't you? He said, Mary. And the stone rolled away. The stone couldn't keep Jesus in that tomb. The tomb is empty. The stone was rolled away. Let me ask you, what are some stones or a stone that's in your life that needs to be rolled away? What is that stone for you? Pain, depression, age, divorce, cancer, betrayal, loneliness, addiction, grief. The stone has no power over Jesus. Jesus is not in the tomb. The stone has been rolled away. And he called your name. All four Gospels has this meeting of Jesus with Mary Magdalene. And Jesus says to her, do not cling to me. You know, when we watch movies or maybe even some of our Sunday school material, and we see Jesus after the resurrection, he's kind of like transparent usually, like a ghost. But I don't think that's the way it was. I think that if Mary would have thrown herself in the arms of Jesus, she would have held him so tight, she probably would have broke a rib. She wouldn't let him go. And Jesus says, do not cling. That word cling can also mean cleave. And so maybe Jesus was not saying, let go of me. He was saying, let me go. Because he was going to leave physically. And he was going to give his ministry now to his disciples. You know, goodbyes are a time for growth. Jesus says, let me go. You have to run things now. And then his disciples pass on that ministry to us. Perhaps you're familiar with the phrase that says, you may be the only Jesus some people will ever see. That is frighteningly true. You are his hands and feet. You are his eyes and ears. You are the heart of Jesus. He is here because we are here. Jesus is here because we are here. When we send people off to mission trips, like we've done to Haiti and will continue to do, they are Jesus in the world. When people come to our church, to our food pantry, and we minister to them through the food pantry, we are an example of Jesus' presence in the world. Jesus is part of us. He exists here and now. Who can do that? Who can be here and exist in the here and now in us? Nobody but Jesus. He calls our name because he wants to move stones that he might live through us. This is Easter, indeed the day that the Lord has made that we should rejoice and be glad in. Today, more than any other day, Christians have a chance to fulfill the command that is found in Psalm 118. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Nobody but Jesus can rise from the dead after being put to death on a cross. And this is the day that we rejoice and we're glad in it. Nobody but Jesus can send an angel to an empty tomb to let his followers know he's not here, he is risen. And today is the day that we can rejoice and be glad in it. Nobody but Jesus could lay down his life as a sinless sacrifice and make a way for his people to experience salvation. And today is the day that we rejoice and we are glad in it. We are glad in him. We have a Savior. His name, his Hebrew name, is Yeshua. And you know what it means? It means salvation. That's what Jesus' name means. Jesus, Yeshua, salvation. It's the name that the angel gave Joseph before Jesus was even born and placed in a manger. It's in Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. It says that the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, you don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her that she's going to be conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sins." God's people have always needed a rescuer. Ever since the fall in the Garden of Eden, we have needed a rescuer. We have always needed someone to save us, and we know that. We've always known, God's people has always known that they needed us to be saved. That's why on the streets of Jerusalem, we talked about it last week, when Jesus, Yeshua, comes riding in on a donkey, it's a triumphal entry, people are crying out phrases from Psalm 118. They say, "Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord." The people of God crying out to the Savior to save them. And they saw in Jesus, Yeshua, one who could rescue them, not only from the Romans, but rescue their lives, because they needed to feel blessed by God once again. They needed to feel blessed by God once again. This is the day that the Lord has made, and there's so much to be glad and rejoice in as we look at the resurrection story, not only in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but also found in Psalm 118. Did you know that Psalm 118 is the most quoted psalm in the whole of all the psalms in the New Testament? It's the most quoted psalm in the New Testament. It's quoted in all four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke quote it three times. John quotes it once. Jesus himself quotes from this psalm. This psalm held a special place in the heart of Jesus. And although traditionally we wouldn't look at, it wouldn't be the first place we would look for a message for Easter and the victory over sin and death and Satan and hell, but unquestionably it's a passage that whispers the name of Jesus and gives Christians reason to rejoice and be glad in this day. So today we're going to just focus on a few verses, verses 1 and 2, and then verses 14 to 24. And as I read these verses, look at them and listen to them through the lens of our Savior who rescued us from the victory and gave us victory over slavery of sin that leads to death. So here's what Psalm 118 says. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let all Israel repeat, his faithful love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. Songs of joy and victory are sung in the camp of the godly. The strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. The strong right arm of the Lord is raised in triumph. The strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. I'll not die, instead I will live to tell what the Lord has done. The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not let me die. Open for me the gates where the righteous enter, and I will go in and thank the Lord. These gates lead to the presence of the Lord, and the godly enter there. I thank you for answering my prayer and giving me victory. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is wonderful to see. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice, and we will be glad in it." Psalm 118. Psalm 118 is known as the Egyptian Hallel Psalm. Hallel. The word in Hebrew means to praise. It's where we get our word hallelujah. It means praise God. praise the Lord. And the reason why it's called an Egyptian praise psalm is because it's probably one of the songs that the Egyptian that they sang when they were being rescued from Egypt, from being slaves in Egypt. The people sang this song, this psalm. And now there's another event of rescue known as Easter. It foreshadows the Exodus from Egypt. Easter is the day that we rejoice and are glad because of an exodus out of slavery, not a slavery of being in Egypt, but a slavery from sin, freed from that. And nobody but Jesus. Nobody but Jesus is our Savior. Nobody but Jesus is our Messiah. Nobody but Jesus is our Lord. Nobody but Jesus could save us from the death grip that sin had on our lives. And so we sing. And we never should get over the rescue from the sin-led life that we had to salvation. To this day, the Jewish people sing this Hallel psalm when they have the feast at Passover, the Seder. Right after the meal, they'll sing this psalm. And they're remembering when they were in Egypt and the blood of a lamb was applied to the doorframe of their house and the death angel passed over them. And that's why they sing. And since the verse Passover in Exodus chapter 12, they sing this psalm, 118, to celebrate. Jesus enjoyed a last supper, Seder, Passover meal with his disciples. And then it says that Jesus and the disciples did something together at the end of that meal. Here's what it says in Mark chapter 14, verse 26. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Many scholars believe that the very last song that Jesus sang with his disciples before he would be arrested and tried and crucified for the sins of the world was this Egyptian Hallel, Psalm 118. And it must have reminded Jesus as he sang of the rescue from sin that was about to take place. And he was able to rejoice and be glad in that moment because of the salvation that was on its way. He was about to demonstrate the meaning of his name, Jesus, Yeshua, salvation, through his own impending death on the cross. The song starts off as a worship, as a call to worship. Let's look at it again, verses 1 and 2. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, steadfast love endures forever. This was often sung as a response type of a song, a call and a response. The Levite priest would sing out the first part, and then the people would sing out the second part. In other words, they would say, oh, God, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And the people would say, for the steadfast love of God lasts forever. And the people coming into Jerusalem at the time of Passover, they would sing this back and forth, a call to worship as they celebrate the goodness of God and the steadfast love of God. Now, the steadfast love of God is also a very deep, strong word in the Hebrew language. It's the word said. And it's a deep binding love that's formed between parties when they make a covenant with each other. Jesus loves us in such a deep, loving way that there's nothing in all of earth or even in the spiritual realm that could ever separate us from his love or violate the covenant. Will God ever violate that covenant of love that he has with his people? It's a hesed kind of love. And it causes us to worship. Could you imagine the emotions that Jesus is feeling as he's singing this psalm with his disciples at that Last Supper? He would be the perfect sacrifice lamb. And so as Jesus and the disciples are working their way through this psalm, they come to this part in verses 14 and 16. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. And so twice as he's singing this psalm, Twice he sings the word salvation. His name, Yeshua. That's the word. He and his friends are singing his own name as they're singing this psalm at the end of that meal. He knew what was about to happen. He knew he was about to save his friends and all the rest of humanity. He knew what was on the horizon. As far as the disciples knew, they're just singing a song that Moses sang with the Israelites crossing the Red Sea. It's in Exodus chapter 15, verses 2 and 6. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. Your right hand, O God, O Lord, is glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. So how powerful must have been for verse 17 to be, as Jesus sang, verse 17, he says, I shall not die, but I will live and recount the deeds of the Lord. It's the most powerful verse in this entire song. Martin Luther had this verse written on his wall in his study. Luther had this. He wrote about this verse. He said, this is the psalm that I love, for it has often served me well and has helped me out of troubles many times when neither emperors or kings, wise men, clever men, or saints could have helped me. And Jesus is about to fulfill verse 17. His death would not be permanent. He'd have to come, as the scriptures said and as the prophecies said, but his death would not be the end of the story. He will live. He will rise again. Death will not hold him down. He will be rescued by the power of God. The deeds of the Lord will be recounted and will be told again to all generations. That's the gospel. This is what we celebrate today. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is worth rejoicing and being glad, because Jesus did not die as some kind of final act of courage. He died and he rose again to enable salvation for all humanity. Nobody but Jesus. And his power over death gives us hope even in our afflictions and in our suffering. Because death that we face, we can always overcome by the power of Jesus, Yeshua, our salvation. And so we don't grieve over our afflictions like those who have no hope, for we know the hope is in the power of Christ that lives in us. And then we get to the verse 18, which says, the Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. In other words, death is not the final verdict of our existence. Such hope in a Savior causes us to worship, and that's what comes next in the song. Verses 19 to 21, it says, open to me the gates of the righteous, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. Worship is the natural response when we've been rescued. And the rescuer is the one that we will give our worship to. And our worship is given in many ways, but it also is lived out in our lives. Our worship is lived out in our lives. Matthew Henry said this, thanksgiving is good, but thank living is better. And then the song moves on to a verse that has this greatest metaphor of Jesus. It says, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. The cornerstone is the most important stone in the building project. This stone is the one that all the other stones are built around and built upon. The cornerstone, when that is set in place, then the remaining parts of the building can go forward and be brought to completion. Jesus is the cornerstone in God's building, rejected and yet becomes the Savior of all people, the one that they would worship. Nobody but Jesus can save us. Salvation is found in no other name, in nobody else. Jesus is the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. And so as Psalm 118, verse 24 reminds us, as we sing it out throughout all ages, especially on Easter Sunday, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And so we will worship him today. We'll be glad in him today. We will be glad because he has saved us from our sins. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow and move forward from all of our pain and all of the regrets of yesterday. Today is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it because he is risen. He has risen indeed. Let's pray together. Would you just stand with me as I just want to pray a blessing over you before you leave today? Thank you, Lord, for this day that you have made possible. This day, Lord, that we remember that you gave your life for us, that we can have eternal life. We can have forgiveness of sins. We can know God. We can have the Holy Spirit of God live in us and live through us, that we might bring love to others, that we might bring hope to others, that we might bring faith to others. Thank you, Lord, that you would call us to that task. Thank you, Lord, because no one else could save us. No one else, Lord, was able to change my life, transform my life, but you, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, because I don't know where I would be today. Maybe I wouldn't even exist today if it wasn't for you, Lord, who came at the right time and spoke to my heart and by your grace saved me from the life and the darkness that I was living in and gave me eternal life. And thank you, Lord, that you gave and you give that eternal life. You make that available to all people, that whoever believes in you will not perish, but will have eternal life. Let me just take a moment before I close in prayer. What better day than on Easter? To say, Jesus, forgive me for the things that I have done wrong. Come, Lord, forgive me, cleanse me. Fill me, Lord, with your presence. Give me, Lord, new hope. Give me, Lord, new life. Give me, Lord, eternal life. Thank you, Lord, that because I put my faith in you and what you did on the cross, and that I believe that you rose from the dead, that because of that, Lord, I have salvation. You are Yahshua, salvation. Thank you, Lord. Just pray a prayer like that. Just out of the sincerity of your heart, and Jesus will enter and cleanse you and give you new life. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for those that you are touching today on this day. Thank you, Lord. And now, Lord, I pray your blessing on each and every one that is here, each family that's represented, Lord. May they go out with your peace and be filled with your life. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. Have a great week and a great day. See you soon.